good morning, everybody. I'm sort of subbing in for Pastor Alex and Frank. Obviously, Frank is busy with a little baby right now, super cute. As we're going through, as Pastor Alex and Frank is going through the names of God, and last time as we talked about David as a shepherd, how his faith was so strong in facing a giant like Goliath. And we kind of touched up on his faith comes from his God that he believes in, right? But then he mentioned, who is this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, right? And we touched up on, well, that refers to the covenant, right, that God had with Abraham, and which set the mark for circumcision. So his faith was in a God that is faithful in fulfilling his promises, right? Just as God gave the covenant and fulfills the covenant that he gives to Abraham. So today, I think that it's a good segue into us talking about and unpacking all of the biblical covenants, in the Bible. And what's interesting is when we study this together and unpack these covenants, we'll start to see that the whole Bible is based on covenants that God makes with his people. Okay? And you'll start to see all of these covenants and how it reveals God's plan of redemption for his creation. Okay? And then all in one narrative. And this will help us unpack the whole Bible as a whole as well. Because we know Bible is divided into how many parts? Two parts, right? Old and New Testament, right? And Testament is really just another word for covenant, right? So we can see how important covenant is, okay, in the revelation in God's Word. So when we look at biblical covenants, to help us study this, I think it'll help us when we answer five questions. Okay? Well, what is a covenant? What types of covenants are in the Bible? How were the covenants made in Bible times? What are the major biblical covenants? And how do we see Jesus in all of the covenants and how he fulfills or completes these covenants? Okay? So, first question is, what is a covenant? So, let's just be interactive here, right? What is your definition or understanding of a covenant? And are there covenants today? Yeah.
Maybe like a promise.
A promise, yeah, okay.
Hold true to, hold forward to.
Okay, good. Anyone else? Those online, feel free to enter your feedback or your answers in the chat.
Contract.
Contract, good, okay. Legal document, all right? We still see that word sometimes in like real estate and financial legal documents, right? Okay, good. Those are all correct answers. So basically, it is a contract, agreement, or promise between two or more parties to strengthen or improve the relationship, okay? Now, The covenants that are made in the Bible, right, are basically agreements or promises between God and his people. Okay? And this bond or this agreement, it pretty much establishes the conditions. Okay? And it makes promises and it guarantees blessings when conditions are met, or it threatens curses when conditions are not met. Okay? So when we're talking about biblical covenants, it's basically, in simplest definition, is a covenant or an agreement or promise between God and his people, but it's unchangeable and it's non-negotiable. Okay? Because it's between God and his people. Right? So God is an unchanging God. What his word says, when he commits to a covenant, it's unchanging and there's no negotiation because he's God. Okay? Everyone good so far with me? Okay. Now, what types of covenant are there in the Bible? There's two types. A bilateral covenant, which is conditional. Okay? You do this, you get this. Okay? You don't do it, right? You don't get this. Or, in another words, if you do this, obey my commands, you will be blessed. I will protect you. Right? If you don't, I'm going to remove my protection and my blessing from you, and actually you'll be cursed. Okay? Unilateral is unconditional. Now, there are certain covenants in the Bible, as we'll see later, that it's unconditional. God just makes his promise. Okay? He just makes his promise to us and to his people. Alright? So those are the two types. Bilateral conditional or unilateral, which is unconditional. Right? Now, how were the covenants made in Bible times? Okay, now we're referring to a lot of times in ancient Middle Eastern culture, covenants are made with blood. They're called blood covenants. And the original language for covenant, it literally means to cut or shed blood. Okay, so the first record in the Bible that shows how these covenants are made is found in Genesis chapter 15. Okay, can someone read that for us? And this is between God and Abraham. Right, read for us.
He said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the bird in half. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On the day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your offspring I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Canaanites and
Kenizzites,
the Cadmonites, and the
Hittites,
the Perizzites, the Riphaim, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites."
Very good. Very good. Very good. That was awesome. Okay. Yeah, so here, you see in biblical times when a blood covenant is cut, basically what they would do is bring an animal, cut it in half, split it in two, so the blood drains into a pan, and the people would walk in a figure eight, and then they would stand in the middle between the animals that were cut in half in blood. Okay, what that symbolizes is anybody that does not meet the conditions, right, or breaks this covenant, Let them be like the animals. Okay? Let them be like the animals. Now, what's interesting here, now this one is when God cut a covenant with Abraham, right? In verse 17, you see, it says, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. What does that mean? That means, as we'll see later, but what this symbolizes is God was the only one that walked through those animals. He did not require Abraham to walk through it, meaning that this covenant is unilateral. It's unconditional. It does not require Abraham to do anything. Okay.
Yeah, that's a really cool observation that I don't think people are usually aware of. You know, that in that particular covenant, it was only God.
Yeah.
You know, in Abraham's like vision.
Right.
Right? That actually passed through, walked in between the two cut pieces.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Fun fact, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you another fun fact. You know that phrase that people might say today, like you'll see on TV, okay, hey, let's cut a deal.
Oh, yeah.
That comes from this, ancient covenants. Because this is, like you said, you can't break this. So when you say, like, you'll see it in the gangster movies, the mafia,
yeah.
Like, hey, let's cut a deal. You know, that's like, we're making a covenant.
Yeah.
Like, we're cutting a deal and we're walking through it. Can't break it.
Yeah. And you know, the sad thing, like, in today's world, right? Like, you know, contracts define loopholes, right? There's less and less emphasis on honor,
right,
and keeping your word, right? But back in those days, like, when you do this, I mean, it's like life biting, right? So, all right. So now, what are the major biblical covenants? Right? What are some of the biblical covenants that you can think of based on all of the Bible stories that we've heard and all the Bible studies that we've done? Just some of the things that comes to mind. We've got one, the Abrahamic covenant, which you just read, right? Anything else? Davidic, okay, good. Mosaic, yeah, all right.
Rainbow.
No way.
Right, okay, good. What else?
In terms of the whole Bible.
Uh-huh.
And the new. Jesus is
new covenant. Okay, good. All right. So, for questions 4 and 5, I have a little exercise for us to do, okay? So, if you want to get into your groups, like small groups maybe of 2 or 3, and this exercise will help us answer questions 4 and 5, okay? What are the major biblical covenants, and how does Jesus fulfill these covenants? So, here are the covenants in the Bible. There's actually 8 of them. Now, some Bible scholars will mesh a couple of them and categorize them as one, like the Edenic and Adamic, right? But I just like to, you know, when I studied this, based on like what I've read in the Bible, and some resources, it makes sense that to list them out as 8. It just gives a better picture of the story of the Bible. So we have Edenic, Adamic, Noahic, Abrahamic, Mosaic, Palestinian, Davidic, and of course the New Covenant. Okay, so. In your exercise, if you can take a photo of these keywords so you have it with you. All right. Oh, I think it's lucky.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And here are the eight covenants, okay? And these are the scripture that you can find that talks about these covenants, and try to match the key word that was listed to each of the covenant. Okay? So that kind of helps us understand what these covenants, the purpose of these covenants, and what it really does. Okay, what it symbolizes, what it represents, okay, what is the purpose of the covenant. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So
a key word, is it, are you talking about an obvious key word or something to think about?
So once you read the scripture and you understand what the covenant entails, you should be able to match based on like the people that are involved, right? And what which keyword matches which covenant.
Okay.
That makes sense? Yeah.
So is this answering question 4 and 5?
Not yet, just 4.
Just 4.
Just 4. And then we'll get to how Jesus fulfills the covenant a little bit later once we come back and go through the answers together. Okay? Alright, so why don't you get into your groups, study these scripture, right? And then try to match the keyword. Okay. Alright. Alright, let's pause. Good work, guys. Good work.
Dude, man, you grind it.
Alright, man.
This is how you teach Sunday school. You make guys work like that.
Who's back there? We're gonna go over it together. Okay? So
I think number 3 is Noah.
So one of the things as we go over this is
yeah,
that
you stop people.
Oh, yeah. You stop.
We're ages, man. You need the answer.
Overachievers.
We need to tell everyone that they got a gold star.
Everyone got a gold star. Okay.
Everyone got a gold star. No. Let's see who won.
Yeah.
Wait, how many does it mean by winning?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
So one thing to keep in mind as we go over this together,
yeah,
is that you'll start to see and keep in mind, what is this?
I'm sorry, that's me.
Oh. You'll keep in mind that some of these covenants build on top of each other. Okay? Right? And they're in relation to the previous ones. So they build up on each other. Okay. So first one is Edenic. What do you guys have?
Edenic.
Restrain.
Restrain.
What?
Rain.
Oh, rain. Okay, rain.
Restraint.
Okay. Well, the answer is actually rule. Fruit from any of the tree except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? If you do, right? And plus, in the Garden of Eden, they have rulership over animals, all of creation.
But that's also raining,
right? It is. But there's another place where rain makes more sense, right? Okay. But what happened?
Yes, sir.
Did they break it?
Yes.
They did, right? Okay, so this type is called bilateral because it's conditional, right?
Correct.
All right, so there's no sign, and the penalty is physical and spiritual death.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so I would like to say it's physical death, but spiritual disconnection. Right? Because spirits do not die. Right? But the spirit can be disconnected from God. Right? So that's the penalty. Okay. Adamic, what do you guys have?
We have, come on, Brian.
Well, it's obviously not going to put down already.
It's gone.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's
go.
Pandemic, we said.
Dude, why would you say the things? My gosh. It turned off.
We have restraint.
You have restraint, okay? Genesis chapter 3, see?
Everything was
okay. So look, because Adam and Eve ate the fruit, right? Now they've fallen and disconnected from God. It was always God's plan to redeem them, right? So when we look at Genesis chapter 3, how is that promise or that covenant going to come to pass? In Genesis chapter 3, it says, I will put enmity between the woman and its seed. The seed will crush the serpent's head.
That's right. That's
and
final.
Bruise the heel. Right? What does that mean? That's a foreshadow. That's a it's telling us that in the future on the cross, that's exactly what Jesus will
right.
do. Right, it's that story of redemption. That is the plan of redemption for all of creation.
It said, like the serpents will bruise, will hurt the Son of Man. Right, Son of Man, but the Son of Man will crush the head.
Right. So what does that mean? It's taking the authority of Satan. So it's victory over Satan and death.
Amen.
Right? That's the redemption plan. Okay? Alright, Noahic. Going a little fast here. Okay, so victory over Satan and death. That's the promise. What type is it?
Non-conditional.
Non-conditional. Very good. Right? And what's the sign?
This is
God covered them with animal skins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? That's the first sacrifice and the shedding of blood.
That's right.
Right? Alright, now, Noahic, what do you guys have?
Reveal.
Restraint. No, we said restraint.
Right.
Restraint.
Why? Why is it restraint?
Because he said he will what? Never again.
God puts restraint. He will never, ever destroy this earth with flood anymore. Right?
With flood.
All right. So this is the promise is to not destroy with flood, and this type is unilateral. Okay. Now, Abrahamic. What do you guys have?
Restraint.
Abrahamic.
Reveal?
No.
Rain?
I got a moral. I think he was rain.
Okay. Abrahamic is restored.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Why is it restored? Why is it restored? Okay. Because when you look at the Bible, in Genesis chapter, I believe it's 8 or something, when Abraham comes in to the picture, the whole Bible's narrative changes, right? So, because of God's redemptive plan, using Abraham and his seed and the covenant to Abraham, he is starting the restoring process for redemption. Why? Okay? The promise is land, lineage, and blessing. Okay? The promise is, God says, I'm going to give you the promised land. Remember? To all of your descendants. Right? And your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Right? So land, lineage, which is people, and going to be a great nation. Right? And those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, what? I will curse. Right? Okay? And yeah, and why is it restored? And why does all of the other covenants will build upon this? Because we see that, which we'll get to later, but here's a hint, is that, well, who is going to have the restoration and the redemption in God, Abraham's line, lineage? You know that, right? It's Jesus. Right? So this type is
unilateral.
Okay, and what is the sign? Circumcision. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the first one for Noah, the sign is?
Rainbow.
Right. Okay. All right, now, Mosaic.
Restraint.
Restraint.
I don't know.
Okay, here's a hint. Here's a hint. Right? I don't think, yeah, the scripture that I provided maybe didn't give you enough information, right? But from what you understand of the Mosaic law, right, of the law, what does it do?
I want to say reveal because there's so many, like,
rules.
Reveals!
Like, you reveal that you can't do it.
Why?
Reveals the laws. Reveals the law.
It reveals the law, yes.
Reveals that we have fallen short.
And they,
oh. Right! It reveals the law, yes. But most importantly, what's the purpose of the law? It is to reveal that we are sinners. And we're in need of a Savior. Right? And when that promise is given, and this one in particular is a bilateral conditional, because it says, if you obey my commands, you will be my treasured possession. Right?
But if you don't,
you'll be cursed. Right? And that's exactly what happens. I don't think there's a sign that follows this one. Okay, next one is the Palestinian. Okay, it is?
Return.
Correct.
Dude, 100%. Hey, you're a pastor, you better return.
Okay, return.
That's fine.
Right?
Oh, Rob, already.
And the promise is return and dwell in the land. Uh-huh. Or what type is it?
I'm skipping it.
Bilateral.
We skipped that one. We skipped that one, right?
Yeah. Okay. Is this starting to make sense?
Yes.
Right? Is this starting to unpack the whole redemptive history and the Bible as a whole? Right? Okay, now Davidic is
return.
No, where did they return? Oh, yeah,
rain.
Oh,
rain.
Why? Because
we'll forever have someone on the throne.
Right.
Oh.
Eternal rule ship.
Right? And this type is
unilateral. Is it eternal worship?
And sign is descendant of David on the throne forever.
You have two eternal rule ships.
We have two eternal rule ships.
Is one of those different? The first one not eternal rule ship?
The first one is.
Oh, descendant of David.
Oh, okay. Descendant of David on the throne. All right, then the last one is relationship or regeneration. And it's for
Jesus.
Yeah, right? But the people here, actually, this relationship or regeneration is actually for the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. However, in the New Testament, once Jesus comes, right? We understand the mystery of the gospel is also for the Gentiles, right? So the Gentiles in Romans chapter 11, it says we were grafted into the branch, right? Into the branch. What does that mean? That means all of the promises that God gave to Abraham's descendants passes on to us.
That's a blessing.
That's a blessing.
There's no curses.
Right? There is no curses, right? So the promise here is indwelling of the Spirit. And this one is unilateral, And the sign is the infilling of the Holy Spirit as a seal for us, right? Okay? So, as you can see, all of this builds on top of each other, right? For the Adamic and Abrahamic covenants. Because it's all about restoring and redeeming his people and his creation. Okay? So now we're at 10:29. I will talk about how Jesus fulfills all of these next time.
Okay.
Right? How Jesus fulfills that next time, because then we'll start to really see, oh man, everything in the Bible, what God has revealed to us through the covenants and through his word, points to Jesus. Okay? It points to Jesus. Right? And this is important when we talk about how we live our Christian life, right? When we can trust in a God that is faithful because he has proven himself, right, to fulfill all of this, these promises and these covenants. So that is why David can be so confident in facing the giant, right? Because he knew he was the circumcised. Right? He's a part of the circumcised people of God that has a covenant with the great God. Right? How does that relate to us today? Because if we trust in a God that is faithful and that keeps his promises, any challenges that we face in our life, we can depend and trust on a faithful God that keeps his promises. Right? Okay. All right. So, come back next week, and we'll talk about how Jesus fulfills all of these covenants.
Good stuff.
All right.